From the KPIX 5 newsroom, this is Bay Area Nightbeat on KBCW.
Now on Nightbeat, trouble with Muni's new fleet of train cars. Tonight, the discovery that's prompted the agency to make changes. Good evening to you. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz.
And I'm Ken Bassita. Nightbeat's Joe Vasquez live in San Francisco tonight with more on the problem and what Muni's saying about it tonight. Joe?
Well, first thing they're saying, Ken, is they want to make sure everybody knows all the train lines are running as scheduled, including the J line here behind me. But that said, they've had to do some major reconfiguring after a key piece of equipment has been mysteriously breaking. When you catch a Muni train, you are usually riding two trains together, double trains that are held together by a special piece of equipment called a shear pin. But a few days ago, Muni discovered a problem.
But what we noticed on Friday was that one of those train shear pins broke.
Here's a photo of one of the affected train cars. The green arrow on the left points to a working shear pin. The orange arrow on the right shows one that appears to have broken off. Muni spokesman Paul Rose says that break prompted an inspection of the entire fleet of the new trains bought in 2017.
Once we did that, we noticed that one other shear pin had broken on one other train. So really, out of an abundance of caution, we have pulled the two-car new trains off of the street.
Muni says it has 67 new train cars. 40 of them have been in service.
So this would impact those 40 cars. But they're still running. They're just running as single cars.
So right now, the newer trains are still running as single train cars on the J Church line. Muni says older two-car trains are running as double trains on the rest of the service. Meanwhile, the transit system says it is working with the manufacturer to find out what went wrong with the new cars and how they can keep those shear pins from breaking again. Muni insists that these broken shear pins don't present any sort of safety problem for the public. That said, clearly there's concern as these new trains cost millions of dollars and they have a key piece of equipment that just keeps breaking and they still don't know why. Reporting live on the Nightbeat, I'm Joe Vasquez.
Well, a gorgeous sunset overlooking the San Francisco skyline this evening. If you thought today was nice and a little warmer, wait until tomorrow. Our chief meteorologist, Paul Diano, has more of what we can expect, Paul.
That's going to be another temperature spike coming up tomorrow, Ken. It's a mild evening outside right now. Current temperatures mainly in the 60s. That's about as warm as we've been this time of night for a long time. Oakland at 62, Livermore 60, and Concord 61, some of the warm spots. So today we made it to the 70s. That was above average. Tomorrow, many inland locations will make it to the 80s, including even the city of Oakland, 13 degrees above average. Concord, a high of 83. That will be 14 degrees above average. And this will be the warmest inland afternoon that we have seen since November 3rd, more than 5 months ago, specifically 165 days ago. No record highs tomorrow, but some of the warmest weather we've seen so far this calendar year. We'll talk about how long it sticks around and your holiday weekend forecast coming up in a few minutes.
Looking forward to that, Paul. Thanks. Tonight, Santa Clara County's public health director confirms a San Mateo resident infected with measles visited Google this month. Nightbeat's Marie Medina live for us in Mountain View and reports that employees had no idea until, what, nearly 2 weeks later. Maria?
Yeah, and it's unknown why they didn't know because Google has not responded to our requests for comment. But 9 days, that's how long it took Google employees to be notified.
That person was actually a resident of San Mateo County.
Yet another case added to the growing number of measles cases in the Bay Area this time.
It's so infectious.
The person carrying the virus, a Google employee who visited the tech giant's office at 1295 Charleston Road April 4th, according to BuzzFeed.
We try to understand who was there who might have been exposed and is there anyone that needs follow-up.
It wouldn't be until April 13th, nearly 2 weeks later, that a Google doctor finally notified employees of the measles exposure, BuzzFeed reports. It's unknown why the alert didn't happen immediately. But Dr. Sarah Cody says most don't need to be concerned.
We are extraordinarily fortunate in Santa Clara County that our vaccination rates are very high. So it's unusual to see spread of illness.
Well, I'm surprised at the entire thing.
Many believe the outbreak could be entirely prevented.
I think vaccinations are absolutely necessary. I My children were vaccinated. I was vaccinated. I'm not vaccinated by choice. They're putting everybody else in the world at risk.
Dr. Cody says so far in Santa Clara County, those with the measles haven't gone on to infect anyone else, but warns that could change.
We're really doing a lot of this work to protect the people who can't be vaccinated.
And the doctor would not confirm if the person infected was in fact a Google employee. Live in the Nightbeat, I'm Marie Medina.
And a live look at Capitol Hill tonight, where hours from now, one of the most anticipated reports out of Washington will become public. Reporter Nicole Killian with how the White House and Democratic lawmakers are reacting ahead of the release of the redacted Mueller report.
President Trump made no mention of the pending release of the redacted Mueller report at a White House event on community investment.
It's a great honor.
The long-awaited report will be released tomorrow. In a four-page summary, Attorney General William Barr said the special counsel found no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia in 2016. But he also noted the report does not exonerate the president, particularly on the question of obstruction of justice.
Could the president still be implicated in this report?
Certainly.
Mary McCord is a former acting assistant attorney general at the Department of Justice.
What we may or may not see, depending on redactions, is the extent to which there may have been wrongdoing, and then people can make a judgment for themselves.
The White House insists it has not seen the Mueller report in advance and continues to claim President Trump has been vindicated.
Tomorrow, the Attorney General will hold a press conference to discuss the report before it is sent to Capitol Hill.
The fact that the Attorney General is not releasing even the redacted report to Congress until after his press conference will again result in the report being presented through his own words rather than through the words of Special Counsel Mueller.
And tonight, the president posted a fundraising message saying, join the official Defend the President coalition before the Mueller report is released tomorrow. Nicole Killian, CBS News, The White House.
And CBS News will have a live special report on the release of the Mueller report tomorrow morning at 6:30. And you can watch that on KPIX 5 and KPIX.com.
Tonight, the Pacifica Police Department is jump-starting the search for a man who tried to kill his pregnant girlfriend nearly 3 years ago. Investigators say this man, 28-year-old Ricardo Colindres, shot his girlfriend in the head on April 27, 2016. Incredibly, she and her baby survived. The shooting happened at the Casa Pacifica Apartments, a senior housing complex where the victim worked. Colindres reportedly has family in the Brisbane area and in Central California. There is a $10,000 reward for information leading to his arrest.
Also tonight, police in San Francisco looking for this man. He is suspected of hitting someone in the head with a wine bottle. Police say that attack happened back in February at a McDonald's on Market Street. The victim suffered traumatic head injuries. If you recognize a suspect, police want to hear from you.
Tonight, a UC Berkeley employee claims that she was harassed by a man that she works with, and the university did not do enough to protect her. Nightbeat's Kristen Ayers reports tonight the woman is taking her case right to the top. She's suing the Board of Regents.
For years, Zulema Lara says the UC Berkeley office, where she works as an administrative coordinator, has been a safe space where she could focus on a job she loves.
I didn't see it coming.
But in 2017, she says all of that changed overnight.
I woke up the morning of October 30th, and I noticed some missed calls. I noticed a bunch of texts.
Zulema says the text messages, more than 20 of them, sent over 2.5 hours, were from her colleague at the Pacific Earthquake Engineering Resource Center. According to legal documents, he's a lab manager named Nathaniel Knight. Zulema says what she read terrified her.
I'm coming to get you, which was very frightening. He was talking about just, I guess, being in love with me.
Another message reads, I'm coming unless you say to blank off. And if you do, I'll still want you to at least design the tattoo of your name that must be on the front part of my leg. Zulema says one text in particular that mentions rubbing lotion on Zulema's tummy was devastating.
We lost our baby. I was 5 months pregnant. He mentions me being pregnant. And I fell apart.
But she says what was even worse than the harassment was the university's response. She says she filed a police report and told her supervisors. But she says Nathaniel went on leave for 3 months and then returned as if nothing had happened.
I then ran into him maybe a week later, and I panicked. I wasn't told. I wasn't giving a notice.
A year and a half later, Zulema says she remains fearful, and her attorney says nothing has changed.
It's incredible that he's still working there, particularly in the same department as Zulema.
For some reason, somehow he became the victim.
In Berkeley, Kristen Ayers on the Night Beat.
Now, we also reached out to a UC Berkeley spokesperson through email. They also did not comment on the lawsuit.
We're about 30 days away from seeing the term sheet between the Oakland A's and the Port of Oakland about a new stadium at Howard Terminal. But tonight, one group is calling foul on the entire project.
The hidden charge at the gas pump that is costing you and other drivers billions every year. Tonight, who's pocketing all that money?
Plus, it is the end of an era for San Francisco's longest-running music review, the final curtain call for Beach Blanket Babylon.